Hello, I am Tracy Hitchings. My guest is author of The Progressive Underground. Welcome back. It's the Kev Rowland 40 Minutes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and a very good night to you across the globe. I am transmitting from the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia, wherever you are. You have tuned into Tracy's Prog World. Well, hello out there, you wonderful listeners. I hope this day finds you good, on very good form indeed. And, you know, taking some time out for yourselves to listen to the latest report from Prog Rock's Walking Encyclopedia, who has zoomed in from New Zealand here waiting to share that intel. So don't forget, guys and dolls, even if you're driving, keep your eyes firmly on the road. If you're at home, maybe you want to grab a pen and paper. As you know, our man Kev has a lot to share. So go on quickly, go and run and grab that bit of paper or just listen back to the show again. That's what I do anyway. So, I mean, on the health side now, on the health side of TPW, Tracy's Prog World, I would also like to share with you that one of my recent guests, Dr. Peter Zaffer, who owns and runs the Coolum Therapy Clinic in Queensland, where she practices Skeena therapy and also is a renowned trainer of Skeena, has just released her latest book called Skeena for Beginners. And as I know full well from training with Peter, she fully understands it can be at first very overwhelming with the what, who, why, where, when, how to use these devices, even when you're trained. And also the home devices, it's made more simplified for that. Help you with your pains and whatever. Okay, so you can get that, these books on amazon.com.au. Her other books are Health and Poetry 1 and 2 and Books of Sayings 1, 2, 3 and 4, again on amazon.com.au. Anyway, one last thing. This is my 50th show and I'm still here. I know, miracles do happen. And I'm very pleased to share this miracle with Kev's Trevor Troves of musical pleasures and wonderful surprises such as Grumblewood last week. And there's a lot more to come from that lot, but let's look at what lot he has tonight. So welcome back on my 50th show, Kev Rowland. Hi.
Hey, Tracy, how are you going?
I'm great. I'm really great, actually. I'm just a bit hot here tonight, even though it's winter. But yeah, other than that, I'm great and very excited about what little ones you're going to bring today, what little treasures you've got in your trove. I know one or two things that you might be talking about. You've sent me a little bit of info. Well, a lot, actually. I couldn't sift through that a lot, but that's why you're here to share it with the masses out there. So, yeah, so we won't go into the weather this week. I'll just say the word, but we're not going to go there. We're going to get in there because Kev has a lot to say and we need the time to keep it to the 40 minutes. So I'll just say to you, Mud Belly.
They're probably my most recent discovery. I'm down in Oxford for a few weeks instead of being up in Auckland. And as I was down here, I got asked by music.net if I'd catch some local gigs in Christchurch as opposed to Auckland. I said, yeah, of course. And they said, would you go and see Mud Belly? And I went, yeah, I have no idea who they are. So yeah, that's fine. So I did a little bit of work before I went to the gig and I discovered it was a band that was basically blues based with a female singer. And that's always of interest to me. And I knew they were having a couple of other acts as well. One called Stomping Nick, who is a one man band, believe it or not, you don't see them very often. And the other, a band with the rather unusual name of St. Peter's Thursday. And they certainly looked interesting as well. So off I went to the 12 bar on Saturday night, right in the center of Christchurch, during the middle of a red warning for weather where we've had severe flooding in Canterbury and it was a heck of a trek, you know, hour each way in monsoon conditions. But yeah, I got to the 12 bar and it's a fairly recent venue. I've not been to that many venues in Christchurch, but apparently this is a new one. And I walked in and the first thing that struck me was what a long bar it was on the left-hand side. And I looked and they had 16 craft beers on tap. And I'm going, well, this is a good start. Then I looked into the room and there was some high tables that you could sit at with stools, or there was quite a few settees actually, just all facing the stage, and there's cubicles on the right hand side, and oh, this is good. And I started walking down, and I thought, I need to find somewhere where I can perch because I need to write. And I'm getting down near the front, and I could see over to one side, right near the front, there was a table with a reserved sign on it. And I, just for the hell of it, I went over to have a look. And I, it was then that I discovered that Mudbelly had actually reserved a table for me, so that I could sit somewhere. So I'm sat there and looking around, and I looked to my left at the wall, and the wall was covered with framed album covers, but it was all bluesmen. So Lightnin' Hopkins, who's one of my favorite blues musicians, there were some Lightnin' Hopkins albums, there was some Big Bill Brunsey, there was all what I call proper old classic bluesmen. And I'm going, this is really quite cool. And I looked across the venue, and I realized that there was a haze in the venue, and that's the best way I can describe it. So it was like smoking, to be honest. It was like the room had lots of cigarette smoke in it, probably not that dense. And it was only later on that I discovered that Mudbelly had actually brought in a haze machine just to bring that effect of it being a bluesy night in a blues club, and it was a little bit smoky and all that sort of thing. They also brought in the lighting rig. They hired lighting guys to run the lighting rig, and they brought in a smoke machine, which they used to great effect as well. And the reason for this was their album launch, but they'd been waiting for about a year and a quarter to launch the album, because between the album being recorded and now, COVID hit and they lost half the band. So the drummer John and the singer Bex decided that, hang on, we're going to do this properly. We'll wait. The right people will come along and it will all sort itself out. So the bassist, Marcus, came in November, and the guitarist, Michael, actually only joined in April. But you would never think that, you know, as a unit, they're really tight. I was having a long chat with Marcus beforehand, and we were talking about, you know, what it all meant and everything. But before we got to them, we had Stomping Nick. Now, Stomping Nick is a guy called Nick Jackman, and he is a one-man band. When I say he's a one-man...
Sorry about that, guys. We just had a bit of a sound dip there, just sorting out some sound issues. Back again. Hi, Kev. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so first off, we had Stomping Nick Jackman, and I cannot remember the last time I saw a one-man band at a rock gig. You know, you used to see them in the streets, or you used to see them on TV, but he literally sat on a drum stool playing electric guitar and harmonica. And in front of him, he had a kick drum. He also had a snare drum and cymbals. And he was playing all of them properly. So they were all analog instruments. He wasn't using a stomp box. He wasn't using electronic pad to create sound. He was doing it all real. So, he played this really quite frenetic punk blues railroad style set, which was just so very powerful. You wouldn't think it was one man really making all that noise. Certainly got the crowd going. There was quite a big crowd there. I discovered later on that because it was their launch gig, Mudbelly had invited all their mates, like you do. Most of their mates are musicians. So they actually had lots of musicians in the audience ready to watch them and hear them play. So Stomping Nick walked through. He reminded me quite a lot of the Groundhogs at times, you know, in that style of aggressive blues rock. He finished and it was time for Mudbelly. And they started the set by putting on the smoke machine and then bathing the stage in blue light. What that meant was, you actually couldn't see a thing. It was just like this wall of blue. And I'm going, this is a pub gig. You know, it's a big pub, you know, but it's not what I would call a marquee or anything like that. It's still a small venue. And all this effort. And then Marcus started up just getting some sounds out of his bass. So it was notes, but he was playing it with effects. He just got these long, drawn-out notes. Michael came in doing similar sort of thing with his guitar. So we started to get this soundscape building of the two instruments with it, just sort of these long held down notes going in between and weaving. And at the back, John started to just a few delicate cymbals here and there. It all started to build and build and build. And it was incredibly atmospheric. It really was building everything up to a climax. And then the riffs came in, and off they were off into their opening song, which was Crooked Magic. And then Bex came on stage, and she stood at the front, and she was picked out on a red light. She reminded me an awful lot of like a combination between Janis Joplin and Maggie Bell, that sort of rough, bluesy, big, broad voice with lots of power and emotion and passion. A very thick voice, if you like. There was nothing thin and weedy about this. There was no strain. There was no stress. It was just the whole power coming out. And she lives and breathes it. It's really interesting because when you talk to Bex offstage, or my experience of talking to Bex offstage, she's very quiet. She's very restrained. She's just quite mild. On stage, she's possessed. She knows that's where she needs to be. And they just came out like a really classic 70s Stone the Crows sort of thing. I've always thought the Stone the Crows are one of the most underrated female-led rock bands, probably of all time. Great band. Maggie Bell, a great singer. And they reminded me a lot of that. And they went through the set, and they played quite a lengthy set. Now, their album is out. It came out last year. I actually haven't played it yet. I've only just got it. But they were mixing it in with cover versions. So they were playing basically the album or cover versions. But the thing about the cover versions is they also changed them quite dramatically. So they played a version of Toxic, the Britney Spears song.
Yeah.
That's the second time I've heard a band play it in the last month, because Cafe Fistfight played it as well. And I ripped Cafe Fistfight to bits before they played the gig, because I knew what they were playing. They told me. And I actually had a go at them, so much so that when they played the song live, they dedicated it to me, which I told them exactly what I thought of that. I did have to eat humble pie, because they did actually rock it up. They proggied it a little bit, and it was really, really good. They sped it up and turned it into more of a belter. These guys slowed it down and turned it much more into a blues number. And it just proved to me that the song itself must be a really good song. I just don't like Britney Spears, and I don't like her version of her song. But, you know, the fact that different musicians have done things with it, and to be honest, anybody who searches will be able to find covers of her music by the likes of Richard Thompson, one of the greatest musicians of all time, and Children of Bodom, for example. You know, they've both done Britney Spears songs, believe it or not. But yeah, that really impressed me. They also did Should I Stay or Should I Go? Oh. Very slowed down, very different.
Wow, I can imagine that'd be great. Yeah.
But the one I think that really, really impressed me was Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, okay.
You have to have real balls to stand up and sing Mercedes-Benz. Because as soon as you start singing that a cappella, like you have to, everybody is going to compare you to Janis Joplin. There is no other. It was her song, yeah? So she sang the first verse totally a cappella. The second verse just had some hand claps, and the music only came in on the third. By which time I'm going, that's brave. And, you know, she did it. She did a great version of it. But to stand up, because literally anybody who knows the song are going to go, well, are you as good? You know, are you coming close? Are you? Can you? You know. So they played their new single, Baby You Know Good, which I thought was incredibly powerful. And they put all this effort into something they've been waiting for a long period of time. You know, but the financial investment these guys must have made to make this into a real show, they really did impress me. Really enjoyed their set. But they weren't the last band. The last band were this band with the weird name, which is St. Peter's Thursday. And I said to Mudbelly, why are you playing in the middle? It's your night, it's your gig. And they went, two reasons. And I went, what's that? He said, first off, we like playing in the middle. We like that time. I said, right. Secondly, we don't want to go on after St. Peter's Thursday. Then I went, okay, well, that's fair enough. But St. Peter's Thursday are a trio. Hard rock, blues-based trio. They call themselves a dead, filthy grunge rock band, right? The thing about a trio is there is never any room to hide. You know, you can sort of get away with it in other bands, but in a trio, there is no room to hide. Everybody has to be absolutely smack on. So you have a singer, guitarist, five-string bassist, and a drummer. And you've got this hard riff and guitar. You've got a bassist playing five-string with effects pedals. He even used a wah-wah at one point. I don't think I've ever heard a wah-wah on a bass before. And they are absolutely all over the place. And at the back, you've got a guy who thinks he's Keith Moon. Now, I would say the drummer is, he's only in his early 20s, I would say, but oh boy, was that guy around the kit. And the thing is, it wasn't all crash and bang. You know, people seem to think Keith Moon has been this massive, bombastic, larger than life character, but they tend to forget he had an awful lot of finesse, a little bit of cymbals here, just moving a couple of different drum styles here and there. And that's what this guy was doing as well. And the result was a manic, over-the-top set, packed full of energy. Now, I had been told beforehand that they weren't going to be playing for very long because two of the musicians had another gig afterwards, right? But what I didn't expect was literally they played the last song and they virtually didn't talk in between songs. So it was one of those bands that just went bang, 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 whereas Mudbelly were doing a lot of talking and Nick did a lot of talking. These guys were basically just powering through because obviously they had this time limitation. They literally played the last song. I don't think they even said goodnight. And immediately the song finished and the crowd's shouting for more. Literally two of them are stripping their gear and they're gone. And he just left the singer guitarist. He's there. And so talking with him afterwards, because he was the only one left. The other two had literally gone running out the door, which was strange. But I mean, it just made me feel again, it's just how lucky we are here in New Zealand and just what the scene is like, because going to a gig like that on Saturday night was awesome. I'm really looking forward to the album. But I've been to some interesting gigs recently. I think, yeah, I was very lucky. A gig I was looking forward to for a long time was Beast Wars. Beast Wars are, what can you say about Beast Wars? One of the most important heavy bands to come out of New Zealand, pretty much. Their debut album came out 10 years ago. And this was their 10th anniversary tour of the album. And they were playing the Power Station, which is, it reminds me of the Marquee every time I go there. I love the Power Station. And it was a very strange night because I bumped into more people that I knew at that gig than I think any other, which was really quite strange. It was good fun, but yeah, it was just unusual. But a lot of bands at the moment I've noticed seem to have this thing of, we're not going to tell you who we are, and we're not going to tell you what any of the songs are, and we'll play and then we'll get off. And that was Demons of Noon were the opening band, and they did exactly that. Really interesting doom style, almost sludge metal. And they didn't say a thing, you know, they literally performed and they were off. And I'm going, okay, it's cool if you can do that, but it might be an idea to actually talk to people and tell them where they can buy your music or find you on Spotify or let you know who you are at least. Because obviously back in the old days, everybody used to have their names on the drum kits. But these days, when you're often sharing a drum kit, that doesn't happen anymore. Then we had Earth Tongue. Now, Earth Tongue were fascinating to me because it was a drummer and a guitarist. She provided most of the vocals. Gussie, and Ezra provided some vocals as well. But it was the fact you had that weird mix, and she was playing her guitar through effects. So it sounded at times like a bass and sounded at times like a guitar. But it was just weird to have Demons of Noonan, who created a very big sound. Then they came off, then you had Earth Tongue, and they were creating this grungy early 70s psych rock sound, which was almost like a full band. You know, you didn't really feel you were missing anything in the sound. You know, you were thinking you were getting all the range that you needed from it. And it was quite nasty and filthy and just really quite over the top. And the sound was incredibly deep, and her vocals cut through on top of that. And it was really quite interesting. Not heard anything quite like it. And I like the fact I can still go to gigs and I can be so surprised by bands. You know, I don't want to think about how many gigs I've been to. I know how many gigs I've been to this year, 18, because I've reviewed every one of them. But that's the only reason I know. And to see a band that's doing something a little bit different, something out of the norm, you know, very different to, you know, the obvious one that people will come to when they say drums and guitar vocals will be White Stripes. These are nothing like White Stripes. There's nothing like that amount of space in the music. It was heavily compressed. It was very, very heavy, very different indeed. And then we come to Beast Wars. Not quite sure what to say about Beast Wars. They're a four-piece. Three of them have got grey hair. Three of them have got beards. They all, you know, those three all look like they're, certainly the singer and the bassist look like they're way past time to give it up. But, oh, boy, they are just phenomenal. I got told beforehand that Beast Wars were going to be an experience, and they just are. They've got a presence that makes you think of Caius and Neurosis, that sort of foreboding, deep, rich, stoner, doom, over-the-top passion. And it was just, wow, it really was. I'm going to have to make sure I wear earplugs the next time I see Beast Wars, because I would be standing up and then I would sit down to write. And I actually noticed a real difference in the volume level when I sat down. Because when I sat down to write, I was just about the only one sat down. Everybody stood up, which means that they're blocking the sound from the amps. The interesting thing is they had a vinyl version of the debut album available for the tour. And this actually got them back into the top 20 of the album charts, you know, which is not bad for an album that's 10 years old.
Wow. Yeah, not bad at all.
They really are a brutal band. But that was on the Saturday. And on the Monday, I was off to the museum. I went to Auckland Museum. I think the strangest gig I've ever been to in terms of place setting was I went to the Canadian Embassy once to see a band play. Which basically was a whole load of musos invited to see this band, obviously this Canadian band that were being put on at the Canadian Embassy, you know, and there's real carpet and there's canapes and there's chandeliers and a rock band on the stage. And I remember always thinking it just felt so wrong. Well, this was very much like it again. It was in the grand foyer entranceway of the museum. So it's got terrazzo floors, these great Gothic columns. You've got the balconies that you could go up and look down on. I was looking at there was a Greek statue behind them where they were playing, and I'm going, this just doesn't look right at all. And this was part of New Zealand Music Month, because May is New Zealand Music Month over here, which is a bit of a misnomer, because obviously the site I work for, music.net.nz, we believe that every month is New Zealand Music Month. So, because there's so much going on. But anyway, they decided that they were going to put on two gigs at the museum, one at the beginning of the month and one at the end of the month. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the one at the end of the month because I knew I was going to be away, so I didn't commit to it, which was a shame because it was two female singers. one of whom, Red Fountain, I've heard before, and she's excellent. Well, the earlier gig was two very different male performers. One was Barnaby Weir, who's known for bands such as Fly My Pretties and Black Seeds. And the other was Loughton Cora, who's probably best known for the band Cora, although he's no longer in that band, still members of his family are. So it was literally started off Barnaby Weir, stood at the front, 12-string guitar, microphone, go. And you had Americana singer-songwriter. What was really interesting was he's playing in a place with all hard surfaces. People were giving out cushions if you wanted to sit on a cushion, but basically he's playing with fairly small amount of amplification, but what's being amplified is hitting solid surfaces. And it meant that he was actually playing with a natural reverb coming from the sound coming back. And he actually said it was something, you know, it was like a 4-second delay. And with a 12-string guitar and his wonderfully clear vocals, it just became this amazing sound. It was absolutely incredible. He never used a pick. The only time he used a pick, it was interesting because I was watching him, he would get a pick out just to check his tuning, to check he hadn't gone out of tune. Then he'd put the pick back in his pocket and he'd actually play without it. And one thing that I found that was really interesting, he actually sent me the set list after the gig. The reason for that was he only knew when he started to play what his first song was, and he made the rest of it up as he went along. He just, depending how he's feeling, how it was going, that's how his set list was. So it was only afterwards that he gave me a set list. Lovely guy, real storyteller, commanding the audience with his voice and his playing, and he was just, it was wonderful. But what I found really interesting was when Loughton came on, because he was so very, very different. So we no longer had an acoustic, we had an electric. But he was also playing, I'm not quite sure what to describe it, but he was basically playing samples. He had his laptop up so he could get to the laptop. He had... He obviously had a whole load of pre-recorded loops and sounds and that sort of thing. But instead of just playing to a backing track, he was actually triggering things. So he would press a button and one loop would start, press a button, something else would start. But if he wanted the first one to stop, he had to then stop it. So it meant that he was actually playing it like playing a keyboard almost. It was really quite strange to watch him do it. And it was interesting because for me, it was... very, very good in the sense that he was creating a full band sound. And he did. He was creating a full band sound. But it just didn't feel right to me because he was a single performer. And what he should have, to my mind, he should have done what Barnaby did, which was stand there with the guitar. You know, have a band or don't have a band. I could understand why he did it. But I came away impressed with how he did it and what he was doing. But wasn't massively impressed with the overall set, although there was one song that he did that really stood out to me. He did a very slowed down version of Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down, which was very, the old classic. And that was really good. And then at the end, the two of them joined forces and just did a couple of covers, really. But it was just interesting to see it in that sort of setting, and it was a very different audience. And that rather annoyed me as well, because I'm going, you've got all these people who've turned out. It's New Zealand Music Month. We'll go to the museum. We'll pay for our expensive wine, champagne, lots of people drinking champagne and all this sort of thing. And we'll sit on some nice cushions in this lovely place. And I'm thinking, next Saturday, I'll be at Ding Dong or somewhere like that. And there'll be no one there playing music just as good, no one there to hear music just as good as this. And where is the crowd? I'm already worried. I'm lined up for a gig at Ding Dong on Saturday week. 12 bands. It starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going.
Just guys out there, just to remind you, as you know, Kev's comes on irregularly. Ding Dong is a very small dive in New Zealand. And it's a really well thought after pub, as written by wolves will tell us when they come on, actually. But it's a very renowned place, isn't it, Kev? It's a precious place. It's a precious dive.
It's great. It's a wonderful place, but I'm thinking 12 bands. I'm already dreading the changeovers. I'm thinking I'm going to be spending nearly as long for the change. I'm actually thinking I'm going to take my laptop with me because I'll write notes during the performance. Then I can probably write a paragraph because I'm only going to get a paragraph on each band. I can write the paragraph on the band whilst they're doing the changeover, because what I've discovered is that the band that's just finished always likes to look at each other and go, oh, that was good. Didn't we do good yet? Oh, did you enjoy that yet? And they all do that sort of messing about. And then they'll be talking to the fans and they still haven't got off the stage. And the band coming on isn't organised enough to be ready to push them out the way. So you always have this massive changeover time. And I'm going, 12 bands? Please let them all have right-handed drummers. That's all I can say. Because if they got to change the drum kit around as well at any point. There was one band I saw at a Battle of Bands recently, and they turned up with an electronic kit. Who plays an electronic drum kit? And he had a really bad time of it as well, because half the channels stopped working during the sound check, which really messed him up. But they went on first, so we could get that off and get the proper kits on. But I reckon 12 bands, I'm going to be deaf or daft or both.
Yeah, but but you're going to get the breaks in between, so you have to go. Is there anywhere to go outside just to give your ears a break, or somewhere nice to sort of set aside?
It's going to be a hard day, I think, that one. I think that's going to be a hard day. I only know two of the bands, but I just know, especially with that many, they're all going to be going, we can play louder and faster than anybody else, and they're all going to be.
Oh, gosh. I'll never forget the time when I played Summer's End. Okay. Band of the Weekend. We got Band of the Weekend. And I stood on stage, and it was the first time I think Peter, Dr. Prog, had heard me. And I just thought, this is so loud. What is the point? Why am I doing this? If I've been absolutely assaulted. So I just said, look, guys, please turn it all down. And I think I got a bit of a cheer. I think everybody's ears were like, something like that, So it gets. I don't know if sound engineers, I don't know if their ears get shot and they just, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is. I think that can happen. Or they even think the louder it is, the better it's got to be. But I love loud. You can't go to see a rock band and not have loud, but there is too loud, isn't there, Kev? Come on, there really is.
Oh, there is. I'll never forget, and I saw... Now, here's a blast from the past. I saw Sad Cafe in the early 80s at the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton. And I loved Sad Cafe. I dragged my girlfriend along to see it because I really wanted to see them. And they had some hit singles like Strange Girl and all this sort of thing. And And they were too loud. They were too loud for their music. And I remember coming away feeling really quite disappointed, because I like loud music, but they were just too loud for what they were doing, and it just felt wrong. There's something I've been listening to recently that I've been lucky enough to hear. I've spoken a few times about the band Aro.
You have. That's the husband and wife
duo.
Very good, Emily
has just released an EP called Ahua, which means to shape, create, form, fashion. And it's not a type of music I would normally listen to, because it's more dance-oriented than what I would normally go for. But she's mixed in jazz, there's R&B, there's folk, but it's all about her voice and everything. And to me, it's like I mean this in a nice way, not a nasty way, but it's like a musical mouthwash. It's just so clear and light and nice, as opposed to the heaviness and that I hear a lot of. And that's been really nice to be able to hear that. But I never cease to be amazed at the amount of musical talent in New Zealand. I was at a gig recently, and it was a band called Pen Caro.
Sounds very Cornish. Sounds very Cornish, darling. Pen, carrow, pen, tree pole, pen.
Yeah, yes, it does sound very Cornish. They're a Wellington post-rock, progressive rock band. So only half the album has got vocals on it. Very good. I think it's an excellent band. Anyway, the opening act was, I can't remember the opening act was now, but I was there as always, and I was there talking to the bassist of this band, Gravity Road, they're called, talking to the bassist because he was wearing a Castle's Milk Stout T-shirt. Now, Castle's Milk Stout is one of my favourite beers. And I asked him where he got the shirt from, and he turned out he was the Auckland rep for Castle. So I determined I was going to make him my best mate, right? So I was going to have a conversation with him. And this other guy came up who I'd never met before. And he's talking to both of us, and he's a bassist with another band that I'd never heard of because they've done basically nothing. You know, and he's chatting to me, and he said, oh, I'm in a band called Living State. And I went, oh, are you? Yeah, we released a single last year. And I said, oh, did you? Yeah, no, not being rude, but I hadn't heard anything about it. And he said, oh, well, we did it. We hired a PR company. We did this and we did a video and all this. And it's not been reviewed anywhere. And of course, me being me, I said, look, here, Alex, here's my email address. Send it to me. I'll sort something out for you. Oh, will you do that? Yeah, of course. Now, 9 times out of 10, believe it or not, I never hear back from musicians. Because they say they're going to do something and they don't do it. Well, anyway, he did the next day. And I was sat there writing and I was doing something, and this thing turned up, and I opened it up. There's a biography and there's a photo and there's a clean version, a radio version and a normal version of the song, which intrigued me. And the video. And I went, great. Oh, thanks, Lex. I'll get all this sorted out. Don't worry. You know, I'll do something. And I finished doing my reviewing and I was just tidying up, and I was just tidying stuff up, and I went, oh, I'll just put the video on. And then I played the video again. Now I played it a few more times. I've got it on my phone now. I'm in love with this song. So the band is called Living State. The song is called One Sided. Female singer, heavy band. It's just commercial. It's got everything going for it, and I absolutely love it. And so much so that Written by Wolves recently did a I can't remember what people call it. It's where you play a video for the first time and you say what you think about it, and I can't remember what that type of thing on YouTube's called, but they recently did one for the new Caridian single. Caridian, a band I've spoken about before, and their new single, Wicked Game. So they did that. They actually played the video, and whilst it's going, they're talking about it, what they think about it, and it's actually really quite funny. And at the end of it, they went, right, well, that's us. That's the first time we've played this song. So if anybody's got any videos that they want us to do the same to, let us know. And I've actually sent it to Mikey and said to Mikey, I'd like you to do this. And he came to me. He must live on Facebook, because within 2 minutes I had a response going, that's awesome. We will definitely do this. If you're saying that we need to listen to it, we need to listen to it. So as an aside, by the way, Written by Wolves, you may remember when we spoke about the gig, I said about this old guy in the corner who was so taken over by the My Chemical Romance song they played.
Very well, yes. That was a great story.
He contacted me. He contacted me a couple of days ago, asked me, before the weekend actually, asking me if I was around, because he was going up to Auckland, he'd like to meet up with me. And I said, actually, I'm actually down south, I'm in Oxford. And he said, oh, great, because I live in Christchurch. We're meeting up for a beer tomorrow afternoon. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, that's great. Isn't that great? Now, this is a wonderful story. That's the last time you were on. If you want to go back and collect that story about... this is about Written with Wolves playing at the Ding Dong, which is Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, by the way. You get the whole story in there. And this gentleman sat there, and this wonderful surprise that happens to him. And also the wonderful stories kept telling within there with all the bands, and this wonderful story, that's behind Written with Wolves as well. It's the whole thing. I just absolutely loved that, Kev. That just so Dan, you're meeting up with him. Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, literally this evening he's been contacting me, and so I've got some meetings in Christchurch tomorrow morning, so we're going to meet up after that, so that should be cool. Yeah.
Well, what sort of age is the guy again? What sort of age is he?
He's old. He's 63. That's, you know, he's 5 years.
So it's your age then.
Yeah, very close to my age. Yeah, very close to
for
my
some
age.
Reason I thought he was older for some reason, but well, I think
Sorry. Yeah, his daughter Lauren thinks he's old, but you know, that's only 5 years different to me. So.
Yeah. Hilarious. Well, that's a great lot of stuff. No, we've covered Pencaro. So, and what, again, just repeat to me where you said that they're based.
Wellington.
Pencaro? Wellington. Oh, Wellington as well. Okay. Yeah. And have we looked at Dead Favours?
Oh, no, we haven't talked about Dead Favours yet. Favours, I'm going to see them on Friday. I am really looking forward to that. Dead Favours have just released their latest album. I'll rephrase that. They've just released side A of their latest album. They've decided that their side A is coming out now. The side B is coming out later in the year. Now, to me, that's two EPs, but they've said it's just two sides of the same album. But I've said to them, I've actually said to them that they ought to release it on vinyl, because this is quality music. This is Caius, Foo Fighters, My Chemical Romance, The Darkness, Muse. It's a real mix of stuff that's going on, and it's just a load of fun. It's a real load of fun. The lead singer of Dead Favours has originally been in he's more well known for being in Stereogram, I suppose, a guy called Jared Reynolds. But before they started on this album, they brought in Alex Elvis on bass, he was the front man with another popular band who is called Skinny Hobos. And people are going to go and see them for both Dead Favours and the Skinny Hobos and Stereogram. But to be honest, they should just be getting them, because this is such a great album. And they played in Auckland last weekend. I was down here, so obviously I haven't seen it. But the reports I've had are just, they're absolutely phenomenal live. So,
wow, yeah.
It's just...
Well, I did happen upon your review on the music.newzealand. Can you say that correctly for people? It's music.net.
.nz. So it's music, M-U-Z-I-C, .net.nz. Yep. And it is simply the most important music website in New Zealand. It's run by Kiwis for Kiwis. I know I don't sound Kiwi. I've got the black passport. I am a Kiwi citizen. I've been here 15 years. I will always sound like a pop. I get that. But we only write about Kiwi musicians, but we cover all the press releases. Any press release, we put it out. We review singles, EPs and albums live. We have photo galleries. And every band has a band page. And it's all about promoting New Zealand music and doing what we can. We're currently working to get the site revamped and better. But, yeah, even as it is, I mean, it's just an amazing resource. So, I mean, yeah, you were saying about the Dead Favours review.
Yeah, no, I happened upon it with all the stuff that you sent, and obviously going on to the site anyway, and you sounded quite excited about that. So I just wanted to hear it in the flesh, you know what I mean, here so you could share it with the people. And I just think, you know, I don't know what else you would like to add to that for people out there. Is there anything else before we come to a close?
No, I think that's pretty much it recently. There is literally always so much going on. And an example today, Lisa contacted me. Lisa runs the site. Lisa is the heart and the soul of the site. Mm. She contacted me today and she said, have you heard of these guys? And she sent me a YouTube link. And I went, nope. I said, but you're going to send it to me to review, aren't you? Because it's heavy. And she went, I've only just come across them. She said, today, literally, I'm going to contact them and say, we'll review it, because you'll review it, won't you? I said, yeah, definitely. I'll pick it up. And it's, even, yeah, the number one site in New Zealand doesn't get sent everything, you know, and we just go, we do what we can. We work these, we all do incredible hours. Lisa, Lisa does. She normally is emailing me before 5 o'clock in the morning because she's got two kids. So she gets up at crack of dawn so you can spend a couple of hours on the site going through press releases, going through, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. Oh, before I go, whilst I think of it, it was announced today, Troy Kingy is just announced his tour, and in Auckland he is playing the Town Hall, which is where where I saw Steve Hackett. It's that sort of that sort of place. So that's going to be awesome. That'll be his biggest gig ever.
When is that taking place? When?
September the 4th.
Oh God! I bet. Oh, we're not allowed to fly. I don't think. I don't know about. I don't know about the New Zealand thing, but at the moment, I think we're grounded over here till 2022. I don't know what's changed.
No, you're allowed over here. You don't live in Victoria, so you're fine. We've got a there's a bubble between us and Australia, which means that we can go either way.
Oh.
And
perhaps that was for further afield then. Okay.
Yeah. The bubble opened with New Zealand beginning of April, so you can come to New Zealand anytime you like.
Right.
It's just Victorians have got a problem.
Rubbing our hands here. Well, my God, because I'd love to see that. My God, wouldn't I love to see that? And I can't, I'm becoming quite, sort of like really looking forward to getting over to New Zealand because of all this stuff that you've dug up. And it's so exciting. It really, really is. I'm glad that we're doing this. I'm glad that we're spending quite a bit of time going through New Zealand because there's a lot there. There's a lot around the world, guys, out there, I know. And we'll go through country by country, of course. But this is just so exciting because it's really happening right now. And you got to go where it is, haven't you? So that's fantastic. Well, thanks for sharing. I was going to ask you about Plague of the Fallen, but I'm going to leave that till next time. I just like the word because it sounds dreadful. And I'm hoping it will be dreadful. I didn't actually read the thing. I decided not to read it. I thought I'm going to just pick off something. Oh God, it's got to be Plague of the Fallen. That's going to be dreadful. Of course it's going to be. So we'll wait. I'm sure it's not. We'll wait till next time and you can give me a bit more of a lowdown on that or I'll have a read. But so I say people out there listening to the show, please do go on to music.net.nz. That's music, M-U-Z-I-C, .net.nz. Sorry about the Z. And I forget when you travel in different countries, you forget the language that you normally speak. But it's what do you call a Z?
Zed.
Zed. You see, oh my gosh, it's gone from me. That is really bad. That's bad. What am I doing here?
I'm sure you weren't brought up in Cornwall saying Z.
Oh, no way. I just couldn't find it in my head. That's really funny. Yeah, the form are completely gone. There's nothing there. But there you go. So, yeah, and don't forget to do that. And don't forget, guys, that you can also equally buy on Amazon Kev's The Progressive Underground, volumes 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, it speaks for itself, The Progressive Underground. Absolutely fantastic volumes. I've got all 3 volumes. Naturally, I'm going to love them. What a wonderful gift they'd make, the fantastic artwork on them. And I'm going to be having that guy on the show soon, aren't I, Kev?
And you are. And Martin released 2 EPs earlier this month, 2 very different types of music. He's such an incredible musician, and I love the fact that...
Wow, yeah, I'm really impressed with what he's sending me at the moment, and can't wait to get him on.
Oh,
yeah,
he's
very enthusiastic.
He's
wonderful.
A lovely man. He really is a lovely man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done you some wonderful artwork. That's Martin, sorry, his last name is...
Springett.
Yeah, Martin Springett. So, so there's many other things to be looking forward to here. So thank you for joining us this evening on this 50th show. That's, it's nothing compared to what most people do out there. I was speaking to someone the other day and they've done 3,000. I'm rattling on about being here after 50. Well, you know, but it's still great. You know, it's great to share and it's great to discuss and it's great to hear this information that Kev brings through with such a passion. And I just love listening to it. So excellent stuff. So, okay. Is there any last thing you'd like to say to the fans of this music out there, Kev? Any just information or message? Go buy the blood music, you know?
Like I say every time, there is just so much music out there. Go out, support the local scene. Most bands I go and see, I don't know anything about them before I actually make it. And like on Saturday night, Mudbelly did their album launch. It was a free gig, you know, and lots of other bands will pay for like $5 or $10 on the door. $5 is the price of a cup of coffee. Go out there, go and support the local bands because a lot of the musicians around the world have had no income, you know, for a long period of time now. So get out there and support them.
And it's also a lot of musicians, even when they're at the busiest and their best, they're not always making a lot of money. But despite what people may think, it is a passion. And for you to get that joy, it needs a bit of help, I suppose, doesn't it? You know, and like everything, really. But yeah, please do, everybody, support the music. Okay, so I think that's it for tonight, folks. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed Kev's info. He's the info man, isn't he? Or we should call it the Kev Rowland Report, I think. You know, we'll forget about the Kev Rowland 40 minutes because I can't count anyway. I mean, I think it must be about an hour by now. But that's fine because we're having great fun. And we love to share, don't we? So thanks very much, you guys. And thanks for coming on again. You know how very much I appreciate your company here. And hearing anything back from you would be absolutely fantastic. TracyHitchensMusic@gmail.com. So yeah, if you've got anything to ask, anything to say, that's fine, about anything at all, about the music and whatever it may be. That's it, really. So thanks very much. Take care of one another. Love one another and all that you do. And it's good night from Kev and me. Bye-bye for now.
See you, everybody.
Okay, guys, there you are. Bit of a stumble there. And it's over and out from Tracy's Prog World.